In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Acts 26, verse 19. "After that, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Paul is witnessing his conversion. "But declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout the countryside of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do deeds consistent with repentance." How we need to preach repentance, that God is waiting for us to say, "Lord, I've held this against this person. I let them go, and I'm sorry." That's repentance. Not only I'm not going to sin anymore by the grace of God, but I forgive everyone who's hurt me. "For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had help from God, and so I stand here testifying to both small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would take place, that Messiah must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles." While he was making this defense, Festus exclaimed, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Too much learning is driving you insane." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking the sober truth. Indeed, the king knows about these things, Agrippa, and to him I speak freely, for I am certain that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets?" And Paul answers, "I know you believe." Agrippa said to Paul, "Are you so quickly persuading me to become a Christian?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that not only you, but also all who are listening to me today might become such as I am, a Christian, except for these chains." When the king got up with him, the governor and Bernice, and those who had been seated with them, and as they were leaving, they said to one another, "This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to the emperor." He appealed to the emperor. He wants to witness to Caesar. I'm looking at chapter 27. We'll go to verse 9. "Since much time had been lost, and sailing was now dangerous, because even the fast had already gone by, Paul advised them, saying, 'Sirs, I can see that the voyage will be with danger.'" He prophesies this. He sees this spiritually. "In much heavy loss, not only of cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion put more attention on what the pilot had said to them and the owner of the ship than Paul. "Since the harbor was not suitable for spending the winter, the majority was in favor of putting two from there on chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix where they could spend the winter. It was harbor at Crete, facing southwest and northwest. Verse 13, when a moderate storm, wind, began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose, so that they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close to the shore. But soon a violent wind called the nor'easter, we know what they are like, rushed from Crete, since the ship was caught and could not be turned head on into the wind. We gave way to it and were driven by running under the lee of a small island called Cloda. We were scarcely able to get the ship boat under control. After hoisting up, they took measures to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would put on Cyatris, they lowered the anchor and so were driven. We were being pounded by the storm, the nor'easter, so violently that on the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they drew the ship's tackle overboard. Then neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest raged. All hope of being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete, and therefore avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage. For there will be no loss of life among you," he's prophesying, "but only the ship will be lost. For last night there stood at me an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and to whom I worship, Jesus. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed God has granted you safety, as all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for you have faith in God. That will be your exactly as I have told you. But we will have to run aground on some island.'" Paul prophesying. He knows what's going to happen. The Lord has shown him. You know, the Lord has shown me a lot of things. That we live in a world that's upside down. That we live in a world that says children will learn about gay people. They have a new book out for toddlers, Gay BCs, not ABCs, Gay BCs. And it talks about people coming out of the closet. It's disgusting. Disgusting. And you know, we don't do anything about it. We need to raise our voices and say, no, our children should not be reading this smut. This is smut. But we say, you know, what can I do? You can't change City Hall. Well, you can if you want to put your life on the brink. When the 14th night had come, as we were drifting across the sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were rearing, coming close to the land. So they took surroundings and found 20 fathoms. A little further on, they took surroundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to escape from the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea on the pretext of putting out others from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you survive. For none of you will lose a hair from your heads." He prophesies. If you do what I tell you, you're not going to lose a hair from your head. After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. We were in the 276 persons in the ship, 276 persons. After they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. In the morning, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned to run the ship ashore. They could cast off the anchors and let them in the sea. At the same time, they loosed the ropes that tied the steering oars. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the ship aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest would follow. They would follow on planks and other pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. What would you do without prophecy, Paul? Like, what would you do? You would just be at the mercy of the winds. That's what you'd just be, at the mercy of the winds. But you had prophetic words. They did not listen to you. Oh, how we have prophetic words, and people say, "Praise the Lord," but they don't put them into practice. They don't put them into practice. Chapter 28. After we had reached safely, we then learned that the island was called Malta. Do you know, to this day, many boys' names in Malta is Paul. Oh, yeah, because they landed in Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness since it had begun to rain and was cold. They kindled a fire and welcomed all around it. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire when a viper, a snake, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on Paul's hand. When the natives saw the creatures hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer, though he has escaped from the sea. Justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were expecting him to swell up or to drop dead, but after they had waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their mind. "Now what do you think they're going to do?" And began to say that he was a god. And this is crazy. He's not a god. He's God's man. He's man of God. Oh, yes. Remember what Jesus said, "You pick up snakes?" This is what happens when you're on mission. Snakes will not hurt you when you're on mission. Oh, yes. You don't want to pick up snakes just to pick up snakes. Oh, no. This happens when you're on mission and the snake bites you. The Lord will protect you from dying. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading men of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. "They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed." Oh, yes. You too. Me too. We shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. After this happened, the rest of the people of the island who had diseases also came to be cured. The word spread just like with Jesus. Anyone that was sick came to be healed by Jesus through Paul. They bestowed many honors on us, and when we were about to sail, they put on board the provisions we needed. 3 months later, we set sail on a ship that had wintered at the island, an Alexandrian ship with the twin brothers as its figurehead. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there for 3 days. Then we weighed anchor and came to Rhegium. After 1 day, there was a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found believers and were intended to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. The believers from there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum. Oh, yeah. The Roman roads, the evangelists, the apostles, the disciples used those roads to bring conversion to people in Rome. Oh, yes. And there in Rome, there were leading men of the government that were converted. Oh, yes, by the word of God, by the word of God. And Appius and 3 taverns to meet us, on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. When we came to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. Remember, Paul could have been released. He was a Roman citizen, but they whipped him, and he wants to go to Caesar, and he wants to witness to Caesar, as he did to Agrippa. I tell you, Paul had great courage. He knows what's going to happen, that he's not going to live. God will show him that. But he'll live forever in heaven. Paul, we need men like Paul. We need women who would be like Paul. Oh, yes. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against your people or the customs of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they were examining me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor, even though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is for the sake of the hope of Israel that I am bound with chains. The sake of the hope of Israel, that's Jesus. It's for Jesus' sake I am bound with chains. They replied, "We have received no letter from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming there has reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we would like to hear from you what you think, and with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." After they had set a day to meet with Paul, they came to him at his lodgings in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter. Until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other. And as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to the ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, "Go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Let it be known to you, then, that this salvation of God has been kept to the Gentiles. Again, it goes to the Jews first, now to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Oh, yes. Teaching about the Lord. Everyone who came, he would preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. He would tell them about his witness. He would tell them that the light surrounded his body, and that he was blind for several days, and that the Lord had appeared to him. Do you know that Acts of the Apostles has 28 chapters? We're living the 29th chapter. It's not written, but we're living the 29th chapter. If we love Jesus, we should be doing the things that Jesus did and that Paul did. If we love Jesus, even witnessing to people slightly, it's so important that we are Acts 29, that we bring the good news to people, that we pray with the sick, believing that they will be healed by the grace of God. We are Acts 29, or we are not Acts 29. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.